visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for visiting with us today. Will you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. Our annual father-son breakfast is this coming Saturday. It's June 17th, 8:30 in the morning at the Tomlinson home in San Martin. And there is a sign-up list on the bulletin board in the kitchen for anyone who is either a father or a son. Sorry that excludes you ladies, but it is a father-son breakfast. And so also, would you indicate whether you'd like omelets or pancakes? And that would be important for the wonderful ladies who are going to prepare the food. So we're very grateful for that. And today would be, of course, the last day to sign up, so we encourage you to do that. At the 3:30 Bible class, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the discussion, and the topic is, why is it the function of the church to disciple? So that should be very interesting in this series of about the church and the various functions of the church. Our scripture reading printed in your bulletin is from Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 143, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Continue our worship with hymn number 496, Victory in Jesus. Thank you. you please stand now as we sing hymn number 63, Take the Name of Jesus With You.
Remain standing for prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. First and most, to say thank you that you save our soul and you gave us the way to go in this world as you did to Paul as we studied this morning. You gave us direction in our life to worship you, to adore you, to love you, to glorify you with our life and our walk of life. And also, Father, you commanded us to teach all nations to make disciples. And that's what the church is all about. It. We are committed to the discipleship of Christ Jesus until, say Paul, we come to the image of Christ. And we thank you, Father, that in our church, morning and afternoon and evening, we provide classes and provide studies and provide places where people can understand a book of the Bible, can understand a topic on their life, can understand perhaps a question that they have, and then can study theology deep and profound. So, Father, thank you for providing this church here in the city of Morgan Hill in California so that we can feed your people with the medicine of God. Give your people the real medicine, the medicine that cures our life, and give direction for life forevermore. We thank you, Lord, that we have a congregation right here in our place. We have missionaries spread all over the places. Fred and Carol Lewis are now sick, but soon will be reestablished in a new ministry. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville. Eusebio and Marixa Perez in the beautiful city of Benalmadena in Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Abendano in Guatemala. And Lord, thank you that next month we will see them here in our church. Martha Peretti in Argentina. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. And Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry, as Daniel is the chaplain in every race now in the season in America. We thank you, Lord, that these people are involved in that area. We thank you, Lord, for the broadcast through the airwaves of KKMC, AAB and the dial. Lord, thank you for the outreach of radio. And Father, thank you for the outreach of the internet that will reach places we have no idea, and we feed the people in their homes or in their places wherever they go, even in vacation. And so, Father, also for the tape ministry and the CD ministry, the expansion of our church, all these ministries is free of charge. because you said to us, Lord, freely you have received, freely you give. And Lord, we are grateful for all of this. Lord, also as a family, we pray for our people. And this morning we are extremely concerned for Donald McDowell as I receive a call this morning on his sickness and on his pain. Father, as I call again, looks like now they have directions on how to handle the situation. It was a very critical situation, and Father, thank you that we got directions and we got somewhere to alleviate that pain. For Jerry West in Costa Rica, Lord, as he approaches September, may this be a beautiful moment where he is relieved that polyps has been really under care and everything is okay. For Loretta Forrest, who is a jewel and lost one leg but never lost the heart, thank you, Father, for her beauty. For Anne Peretto, Lord, she is weak and trying to raise up herself after the passing away of her husband. Lord, be with her, strengthen her heart and her life. Lord, also we are grateful for some of our members who take breaks. Jack Zanjan is almost 2 weeks already out of the church, and we miss him. And I know he's coming back this week, and we hope that he builds his strength. And then for Lord Quay and Maida and Kathleen Kahn, who are in Spain, may they rebuild their energies and have the joy of a vacation so when they come back, they will have a strength in their life. Lord, we pray for those who are listening, that the word of God today and the choir praises to a living God and the reading of God's word will give them a strength and power. In Jesus we pray. And Lord, also we are so grateful that Sunday after Sunday, your people are faithful. And because they love you, they provide for the ministry so that we can do everything free as we always have done. Thank you for their offering. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Would you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 562. We will be reading Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your mercy in delivering us from the bondage of sin. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ relied on Scripture for victory in his spiritual struggle, so we rely on the Scripture in ours. We are grateful for the gift of your written word, that we may base our faith and life entirely upon it. Help us to understand what is written, and bless your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to expound your revelation to us. Bless those who listen here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may grasp and feed upon those things which we are about to hear, that we may digest and live by your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much for the reading, and thank you, choir, for the opportunity to praise the Lord. As your senior pastor, I have the heavy responsibility of feeding you like a doctor will do in the hospital, and designing for the church what is proper for you to hear. And so our church is carefully designed with a balanced meal so that you are well fed. If you come to Sunday school, you will know the Bible. Chapter by chapter, book by book, you will know what the Bible says. And it's designed in such a way that we are almost at the close of the book of Acts. And you know the first 30 years of the history of the church. The next book will be a book that will teach you how to live like a Christian. First John, and then Second John and Third John. They will teach you how to really deal with the issues of life. The material is already laid out. I have to lay the schedule and will be in the hands of the teacher soon. Our morning service is our design to know God and a content of a topic. And so every month I have a set of topics like this month and the others. This month in the psychology of redemption. What is involved in the redemption of mankind? And remember, each month has a panorama and how you can be fed. And the afternoon we have a class with question and answer. If you are hanging on in some questions, Pastor Tomlinson will take your question and perhaps do not answer that day or the next day. And if you are listening to me over the AM radio or the internet as well, you can ask a question right to Secretary Bethel, and we will carefully answer that question with the scripture, of course. Then the evening service is designed entirely for theology. We are on the book of Revelation, but I'm a practical theologian, and so every book of the Bible has a practical issue for life. And I'll tell you something. I battled for years to understand Revelation chapter 20. That's what we're going to be tonight. Revelation 20, we already went 10 verses, and now we're going to go in a marvelous way to the deep study of Revelation. And now I understand it well. After 35 years of being a pastor, I do understand it well, what that revelation said and the implications to you, so that you don't get upset when the world goes crazy. You will know why God is still in control. So if you come to our church from morning to evening, all right, you really got a balanced meal. And I guarantee to you, I guarantee with all my heart that your questions in life will be answered in one of those sermons. If you cannot come here, you listen on the internet and you send the offering anyway. So it's beautiful. All right. All right. Here we go this morning. And the second sermon on the Christian psychology of redemption. That's our series for this month. Now, our first study was the revelation of Christ. You today, you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know what God said has been revealed in this book, the Bible. That's the revelation. You don't find this in the Chronicles newspaper and the Mercury News in San Jose. You find these in this book called the Bible. And that's why God carefully designed the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember in Matthew 16, when Jesus said to Peter, now, what do you think the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God really is? And he answered that question, and Jesus used that detail. Now today is a very practical study. The address is overcoming temptation. If you said, I don't have temptation, you are not a human being then. All right? Overcoming temptation. This is our second study on the psychology of God. Not only his Savior, but he provides for you the means whereby you can live like a Christian, walk like a Christian, and talk like a Christian. So in order to understand how to overcome temptation, there's a chapter in the Bible about that, Matthew 4, the our brother read. I'm going to study in this way. First, I'm going to study his temptations and then ours. His temptations, how Jesus was tempted, and then our temptation, and then give you the absolute security that you can overcome temptation. You are not at the mercy of the prince of the air, Satan. You are not. But let's study, all right? So, you are ready in Matthew chapter 4, and that's what we're going to study, his temptations and our temptations, so that we can understand overcoming temptations. You need to find out what it is, and you need to find out God's resources, and then you will see. Number one, his temptations. They are recorded for us in Matthew chapter 4. There is a setting of his temptations. And the setting is in the previous chapter. The period of temptation came to Jesus immediately after a period of exaltation and glory. Look in your Bible in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him." Verse 17. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Bible repeats that sentence four times. In Matthew 17:5, and Mark 1:11, and Luke 3:32, the Bible continually repeats, and finally in 2 Peter 1:17, the Bible repeats that God looks to Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so, and now, open to the skies, open to the entire population there in Israel, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that's a moment of victory for the Lord Jesus. What do you think is the next moment? Chapter 4. Here is his temptation. Look at this. Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered." Now, here comes the temptation, verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God." Now listen carefully. Satan said, there is no if in the original, is you are. And so I'm going to read it. "You are the Son of God." This is what Satan said. "You are the Son of God. Then do the work of God in your own way. Be your own king. You are the Son of God. Do what you want to." What is the test? The first temptation is selfishness. I'm a Christian. I can do what I want with my life. That's a real temptation. Some people are not members of churches because they don't want to obey. They don't want to obey the church. When you're a member of a church, you are under the discipline of the church and the custody of your pastor. I'm not a policeman. I'm a lover. And I want to reach, but I don't want to let you be too far away. I want to reach you. It's just fantastic. And Satan said, "Be yourself. Be your own God." Do you hear those words before? You know how long? Go to Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 3, and verse 5 with me. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 5. And you will hear those words from the lips of the same person, Satan, talking to a lady. The lady said, I should not disobey God. And then he explained to the lady something that he doesn't know, but explained to the lady a lie. Look in Genesis 3, verse 5. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. His temptation was, be yourself. Each time that you and I will say, I'm going to do this in my way, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. We are in trouble. Now, what was the answer Jesus gave? You go back to Matthew in chapter 4, page 562. In verse 4, the answer said, he reject the shortcut. He said, it is written, you have to live by the word of God. If this church will tell you to do something and is not in the word of God, I want you to tell me right away. I want you to tell the deacons right away. Because have to be the word of God. It is written. And so the answer is, he rejected. No shortcuts in the Christian life. You don't allow shortcuts in the Christian life. I can do this for myself. You cannot do nothing for yourself. You have to do everything by the will of God in his word. We talk about marriage with the college class. I talk a lot about marriage with the college class because I like those guys to be married one day. A woman to a man, a man to a woman. In America, that's a miracle. So I had to talk to them. And we talk about Paul today and his discrimination and his tremendous displeasure of his goals and then talk about a social life arrangement. And we talk about Festus and Agrippa, how nice and kind they were, and how good they were. They followed the law of the Roman Empire to the D, but they failed to follow the law of God. And I said, watch out with guys or girls who are like that. They're very kind, they're very gentle, they are looks like better than Christians, but they will never follow God. Watch out with that. And I listened. Jesus said, no shortcuts in my life. I will make my kingdom strong, but no shortcuts, all right? Temptation number two now, please. And then, second temptation, verse 5 and 6. Then the devil take him up into the holy city and settled him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now let's see the temptation. Here's the temptation, second temptation to Jesus. You are the Son of God. Then do something supernatural. Using signs and wonders to bewitch men so that they will be amazed of you. Here is the temptation. Set up a spectacular kingdom so the people will say, wow. The temptation really is this. Go into a show business and you will attract a lot of people. Now, needless to say, I chat with a lot of people because a lot of people know me. And some people told me, I don't go to your church because the building don't look so good. But if you have a larger building, and a modern facilities, and windows with glasses and birth flying, I go to your church. They are willing to share 1 million, million and a half if I need it to do it. And I know they can. They don't know that there are millions listening over the internet and over the radio. They don't know that. See, I'm glad I was trained for 29 years in radio. And I was depressed after 6 years. You know, you're in a control room, a glass. I have a chair on the other side, and I put the little dummy in the chair, and I talk to the dummy, you know. And the program became really alive. I was talking to somebody. But I don't get anything. And the American missionary, they would train me. I said, you know, I'm no good. I'm going to go home. He said, no, no, dummy, let me pray. And so he prayed over the air, Lord, bless this dummy. He wants to go home. He said, he's so stupid. You know, and like this, he's an Argentinian. Oh, I got my nerves on it. I'm going to stay. Then the president of the radio said, you know what? Pack your bags and go. Go nation by nation in Central America, South America. Go, and when you are tired, come back. We pay. And so I never forgot. I arrive in San Pedro Sula. I announce over the radio, I want to be visiting you. And flags all over the country. I told Raquel, let's move back. Must be the president coming in the plane. No, it was for me. I taught to read people the Bible. I never knew I taught those people to read. I never knew. Thousands of people in the airport greeted me because I taught them how to read over the radio. See, I will read the Spanish Bible very slowly in the Castilian language. Very slowly. And they were following me. And you don't saw them. And they became believers. I arrived to Colombia in the red carpet after the plane. Again, I move up. And then the red carpet come in. And the sound of the trumpet, two big soldiers over there. I said, must be the vice president or the secretary of state in the plane. So, Dr. Otero, please come in and come in. So they're going to put me in jail. No. The chaplain to the president, Bentancur, who was married to an American, listened to my broadcast every day on family radio in Colombia. And when he knew I was in the country, he wanted me to be a guest of the White House in Colombia. I tell you, you never know. So you don't need the popularities of a building and so on. What you need to do is be faithful. The temptation is very clear. Do a supernatural kingdom. Get an orchestra in the thing. Modernize your music. Change your Bible. Just read one verse and talk about life. Don't use the Bible anymore. And you will have a packed church. Call people forward that they will be healed and all these. Do all kinds of these things that will be attracting people. That was Satan. You think this is new? No, this is Satan's plan to Jesus. The answer, Jesus Christ never enters the heart of man by means of a show. Jesus Christ never entered the hearts of man by means of a show, but by believing in him. Okay? Look in the gospel in chapter 4, the gospel of John, page 624, John 4:47. Look what the scripture says. This is how you get Jesus. John 4 in verse 47, page 624. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him, and he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Somebody came to Jesus and said, please do this miracle, save my son. Verse 48. And then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son live. And the man believed the words that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. The man had believed the words that Jesus has spoken unto him. If you want to have Jesus, it's not by a spectacular service. You have to believe the word that Jesus speak to you in the Bible. Third temptation to Jesus, Matthew 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And verse 9, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Look at Satan. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only, look at what Jesus said, shall thou serve. The temptation is this. Satan asked him to compromise. Come on, Jesus. Come on. You will become the king of men and the savior of the world by compromising. Build your kingdom with an open mind, says Satan. Please tolerate the evil of the world. Call it necessary evil. Have you heard that? Necessary evil. That's compromising. Tell men sin is a disease. Somebody said, well, this man drinks too much. It's a disease. Yeah. So what's the name on it? It's a disease. I know the name on it. So what is it? Sin. Oh, you're a religious man. No, I'm not a religious man. I'm a scientific man. Sin. I read in this book of science. This book analyzes your heart. Sin. It's easy. Worship me. Looking at things my way, says Satan to Jesus. Establish a kingdom where there is no right and no wrong. I have a meeting with my neighbor. I have a delightful luncheon. Nothing had been said until Raquel punched the line and said, well, you told the pastor down there across the street in my house that you want to know what is wrong and what is right. That's what you want to know. And he panicked. This British fella, we're going to beat them very bad in soccer. He really panicked. He panicked. No, I don't want to know. That's another way to compromise. I do not want to know. Like, if you don't know what is right or what is wrong, will save your life. Suppose that you go into a driving and there is a bridge. And somebody's going to tell you the news. The bridge on the river is broken in the middle. So, no, I don't want to know. Leave me alone. And you drive. I hope you know how to swim. You understand? What was the answer Jesus gave? The only way that the kingdom can be established is by worshiping God, said Jesus. Turn your Bible to John 4:24. And look, the only way that you really will establish the kingdom of God is by worshiping God with your life. This Jesus taught to a lady in John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him my worship him in a spirit and in truth. You need to have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart and the truth of God's word if you're going to worship God. Now that's Jesus' temptation. Let's look to our temptations as we compare each one of those to our life. The first temptation of our Lord comes to us in this kind of line. The duty of the Christian is not to the needs of his fellow men, but to the will of God. Matthew 11 and verse 6. Matthew 11 and verse 6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The duty of the church is not a social duty. The duty of the church is to do the will of his Savior. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye and make disciples, not feed the people of the world. I was trying to explain this to the priest here in town. Oh, but my church say that. Forget about your church. Disobey them. Obey the Bible. Yeah, be a man, I told him, you know. Get your Bible in your hand and say to the priest or to the bishop or to the cardinal, say, hey, you're wrong. Scripture said, my duty is to feed these people spiritually. Then other duties come. That's our first temptation. See, we want to be kind with everybody, and we forget the number one cause. You people study Acts 26. Paul don't say anything about his change until the end. Paul don't say anything about his problems. He only told them, I believe that Jesus died and he rose again. I believe that Jesus died and he rose again. Oh, I wish, King Agrippa, you will be not only persuaded, but you will be really know this in your heart. And I tell you, that's our church. That's our church. We don't want to water down. So Jesus Christ is not a social reformer. He came to bring us back to God spiritually, personality-wise, and bodily. He brought the whole thing to God. Not just feeding, not just a house. He, Jesus, wants your soul. The second temptation of our Lord Jesus comes to us in this line. The duty of Christian is to do God's will in His way. You know, almost I say class, because I've been a teacher for so long. You know, you cannot do what you want with your life. You have to live it God's way. Turn your Bible to John Gospel chapter 8 verse 29. Look how Jesus lived. The temptation was, why don't you compromise, remember? Compromise and do this for me. And if you go to John 8:29, you find the answer of Jesus' success. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always, you got the word always, do things that pleases him, that pleases God. You cannot do what you want. You have to please God. And how do I know what pleases God? Move your Bible to Hebrews 10:7, page 708. Hebrews 10 and verse 7, page 708. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the volume of the book. Is that clear? In the volume of this book is written the will of God, and you must do the will of God. Somebody asked me, I took a class on driving, and Camille, you're an excellent teacher. Somebody asked me in the parking lot at lunchtime, as a pastor, I was identified as a pastor in that class, and somebody identified, he said, What do you think is that we need to do for this world to be one? You know, I said, well, it is written in the volume of the book. I said, you have to do the will of God. He said, oh, you're a good guy. He said, I'm a Southern Baptist. He said, he shake my hand and he said, I'm looking for a church. He said, well, you come to our church. We teach you, you have to do the will of God. And he said, what is the will of God? All right, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, page 689, if you are in the Bible here in the pew. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, God has prepared your line. I told my class, each one of you will be different. Each one of you girls and boys will be different. Some will be this and some will be the other and some will study the other. Don't be somebody else. Be yourself and pursue it to the maximum of your spirit. But be sure that what you're doing is what God wants you to be in life. That's important. That's very important. So the second temptation of our is to live in our own way. Yeah, I want to do the will of God in my own way. Some people said, yes, I love the Lord, but I stay in home. I don't go to church. I don't need church. I be in home. That's wrong. The Bible said, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. And I look into all the manuscripts and there is a clear picture that the words are in plural and indicate that we need to be together. Why? Because when you are together, you are under the discipline of the church, the God formed. And one day we're going to be under His discipline in heaven. Some people say, well, I don't care if I'm baptized or not. God said, you have to be baptized. I'm glad that we had two people walking forward the other day for baptism, and today I want to call some more. Because the Bible said that you need to tell the people Jesus died for me and rose again. That's what baptism is. It's no salvation. Some people, I go to funerals when the Roman Catholics do it, and they got it all wrong. They said, well, this person never came to church, but he's saved according to his baptism. Baloney. He's going to hell. How can people lie to themselves? I tell you, don't play with your life, because in heaven there is no opportunity. I'm not here for Baptist belief or this belief. I'm here to tell you, you better believe. Like a doctor say, you better take this medicine or you'll wick go. My good friend, the second temptation was really what is working in the church today. You worship God in your own way. No, sir. You worship God in the way it's designed in the Bible. Like you said, I'm a son, and I'm going to do what I want in my house. What? Yes. No, sir. The Bible said, children, obey your parents. Parents, do not put rules on them that will hesitate them. Actually, any rule will hesitate any child, you know. But don't overwhelm yourself. Just be careful. Give them 1 hour to play soccer someplace. All right? First temptation comes. You have to live by the will of God. Second temptation, the will of God is not what you think, it's written, it's His way. And third temptation to mankind, the third temptation that comes to us is in this line. The duty of Christian is not to compromise with the kingdom of this world. Beloved, the kingdom of God is not the Maserati, is not the house on the hill. Is not the dream of the American people. I hate when they said, well, you know, we came to America to live the dream of the American people. When I came to America, I don't know what the dream of the American people was. I came to work. Because in my land, I work and they don't pay me. They give me a bonus. And they say, in 20 years, we'll pay you. I said, goodbye. I called the Germany embassy and they said, you got to work in Berlin? I went home. He said, I got a job. He said, where? In Berlin. No, Berlin, she said. I remember it was in the hands of the Russian, half and half in the Americans. So she, I called the American ambassador. He said, well, bring me your diplomas. And I went and said, oh, we need professionals. We have a war coming up. We need guys like you. Sign here. If we go in war, you will defend us. So I signed it. Never knew that 6 months later I got an A4 car. You're enrolled. But I don't came for the American dream. They were telling me, well, if you are here, you get this benefit. Your wife go to the commissariat. You got this. You got this. I don't care. I just came to work, pay me, and that's it. That's a lie. The American dream is Satan. It's Satan. The third temptation is you need to compromise. Beloved, the kingdom of God is not this world. Let me show you where the kingdom of God is. Look in your Bible and Luke Gospel 17:21, page 614. I want you to mark this good. Luke Gospel 17:21. Nor will they say, look here, it is, or there, or behold, the kingdom of God. For, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You got it? The kingdom of God is not American prosperity, your salary. The kingdom of God is not how many houses you have. The kingdom of God is not what kind of work you do. The kingdom of God is within you. What do you got within you? Do you got yourself? Of you got the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God for this church is not to have a masterpiece church built and a building made by hand. The kingdom of God is the I will preach the gospel and Pastor Thomason will teach us in his class and the teachers in our Sunday school will teach Jesus save, Jesus save, Jesus save. That's the only way to go. So the kingdom of God can deal within you. You see how Satan has worked? You see? Now, can we overcome this rascal? Yes. Let me give you the formula, like a coach tells in the soccer game, I tell you how to win. Here it is. And he speaks very slow, so everybody pay attention. Here it is. Here it is. Go in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The number one thing you need to know is that temptations are limited to the strength of each believer. When God restrains Satan, he did this. Temptations are limited to the strength of each believer. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You see that? No excuses to fail. Temptations are limited to the strength of each believer. Temptations are limited to the strength of each believer. They are designed for each of you in a special way. And God will never allow that that temptation is more than what you can do. Praise God. Praise God. Second thing you need to do. Second thing you need to know. Remember we studied that Christ's kingdom is within you? Well, the one who is within you is greater than the tempter. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, page 719. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 719. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than, look at the scripture, he that is in the world. Make that verse a remark. The one that is within you is greater than the one who trying to disturb you. So here is the victory of the Christian. Here is the victory of the Christian temptation. Number one, your temptation never can overwhelm you. They are limited to your knowledge, limited to your strength, limited to your capacity. And your temptation never can empower you, because you have the power of Christ within you. That's the only way to overcome temptation. It's not by a treatment. It's not by drugs and medicine. No, no. Is by having Jesus Christ in your heart. And when you are a real believer, Satan will be Satan against you, but he can do nothing. He's a defeated fellow. So may this help us not to surrender. Not to surrender. The worst part in the Christian life is when you surrender. You know what was the worst when we play soccer? Well, those guys were playing the World Cup. And when some people tell them, you know, this team you're going to play is this and this and the other, and they have this player and the other, our coach will sit with us and said, you are the best guys. And I know that you're going to do this, and I know you're going to do this, and I know that they will pull over. We walk in that field like we want to kill everybody in front of us. I tell you, just wake up every morning and know that the God who is within you is greater than all your problems and difficulties and mess in which you are. And that God will never allow you to surrender to Satan. He will allow you to overcome so that you become a better Christian because of your victory. Oh God, thank you. We want to tell you it's not easy. We want to tell you, God, this is not just a game of soccer. This is the game of life. We want to tell you that this is so difficult that almost sometimes we surrender. And sometimes we brainwash ourselves rather than looking to you. Oh, Father, I pray that we will be overcomers. Yes, we will have temptation. Lord, I pray not that you remove the temptation, but that you wake us up and we overcome temptation. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Water. Does anybody else who would like it to be, let me know. All right? Is anybody else here? Will you raise your hand? If there's anybody else who never have been baptized and want to be baptized, this is the time to let me know so that we prepare all the things that we have to do. Have one more Sunday to make this call for you. And think about it. You call me. And on next Sunday, we'll be in class for those who want to be baptized. And I'll have Pastor Thompson to teach what baptism is in that class. He will make a little break in his teaching. And
it fits right in line with what we're teaching.
Oh, okay, good. So that would be good. All right, will you stand then for prayer? Lord, we thank you that your experience teaches us that you were not a person that were isolated from the temptations of this world. Actually, were heavily designed to compromise your life, and you never did. Hebrews 4:14 said that you were tempted in everything, but never yield to those temptations. So, Father, we cover our prayers that you will bless us with that kind of strength. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that the person of Christ will enable us to love you so much that we will never love anything in this world except you. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our relatives. Thank you for those around us. Thank you for our work. Thank you for our business. Thank you, Lord, for the things you brought to our life. More than anything else, thank you that we know you as our Savior. In Jesus we pray. Amen.